daily dose of radio popcorn, Ward and L on Canada Talks.
We are back on Ward and Al. Ward is away. Arthur Simeon is here being fabulous.
Thank you very much.
You are
pleasure
very
welcome. Pleasure to be here.
Pleasure to see your face.
As always.
Well, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you're pretty good. And we are joined now by the host of Cinephobia Radio and his on-air nemesis.
Ooh, I like that. Ooh.
Please welcome Stuart Andrews and Last Chance Lance.
Yeah.
Is there an applause track that's going through right now?
You know what? Yes,
they just gave
yes.
you
I
one.
Just pressed it.
They just gave you one, yeah.
Wow, you really like me.
Yeah.
You really, really like me.
Yeah.
Great.
Ward is usually the buttons guy, and okay. so I forget about them a lot, but yeah.
I'll tell you right now, we're not going to join in on the Friday afternoon fart song.
Ooh, can you say that word?
What?
I think you can.
Fart?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, fart's not
a this
swear.
This is too weird. I have to just pictorially describe the setting here.
Right.
Al is over there in a nice little setting.
Right.
Arthur's in his own little enclave. And I'm bundled up.
Yeah.
Sitting
yeah.
closer. I've known this guy for like 10 years. I've
never,
never
been this
been
close.
This close, yeah.
This is it's very uncomfortable.
Always a first time for everything, yeah. is what
you
I say.
See, I guess
and a last
I have
time.
A large head too, but you have a really large head. I've never yeah. noticed it.
It encases a large
so
brain.
When you're leaning in to the mic.
But I'm leaning in with my elbow into your crotch
this is
area.
So uncomfortable. Okay.
I got to be honest with you guys.
Please.
You're not really here to be interviewed. You're here for relationship counseling.
There we go.
Thank
and
you.
To get closer.
Intervention.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That makes more sense.
Yeah. Right?
So this yeah. is part of your scheme.
The cat is out bag.
This is what we do here. We bring people here under false pretenses.
Okay.
Now,
and then we spring them a surprise.
So
you're probably wondering who the hell we are.
Well, I was just going to say, horror movies, do you like them?
Not particularly. kind of sick of them.
Classic yeah, horror, yes. Yeah. Modern horror tends to lean to no, right? Yeah, no. Hello?
I wouldn't generalize so simplistically.
I generalize a lot. So.
Fair.
But that's our background and where I
right.
met Lance is that we both worked for Rue Morgue. He still does work for Rue Morgue. And I hosted the Rue Morgue podcast, which is the spoken word companion to Rue Morgue magazine. For people who aren't familiar with Rue Morgue, it comes out of Toronto. It's one of the world's biggest horror film magazines. It's been around for like, what, 15 years or
yep, something like
even
that.
Longer? Right.
We have had members of the Rue Morgue staff on this show before.
Oh, right.
And we, yeah.
Sorry.
We talk horror movies and stuff like that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Lance is infamous for his column Last Rites, where he gets to review films that are so pitiful that no other magazine would even dream of reviewing them.
That's a sweet gig,
That's
though,
a sweet
right?
gig, yeah. You give them a chance.
It sounds like a sweet gig, but after you've watched your 1,000th movie, like the hip-hop witch, you know, like the
right.
just bad
yeah.
movies.
Although that sounds like a really
good idea.
It sounds
pretty awesome.
Everyone says that,
idea.
And
yeah.
then they look for it, and they watch it, and they're just like, wow, what a piece of crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, Terror at Blood Fart Lake. There's a lot of movies out there that should never have seen
that
the light of day.
Incredible.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie though. These titles are really tickling my fancy.
Yeah, that's all they have.
I feel like
they have a title
and that's
they're
it.
Printed in a plastic box, and
right.
there is a DVD in there.
Yep.
And then when you put it in the machine, you wish you'd never had.
No, if your machine could barf or have like explosive diarrhea, it
right.
would.
It would.
But then you can always use that DVD as a coaster.
Right.
And
okay.
you can actually take the paper like label out of the inside and use it for other things.
Okay. Kindling. So there is like upcycling possibilities.
Upcycling, yeah.
That's what I'm all about.
How do you get your hands on these movies? Because clearly they're not distributed. Do they like mail them to Rue Morgue?
I use tongs. I don't use my hands.
Right, yeah.
Dealing with those. But yeah, no, a lot of people will just literally put them in an envelope and ship them off, hoping that they'll find their way to me and that I'll watch it and go like, wow, this is great. Or that I'll say, wow, this is crap. And they still think of the any kind of advertising being good advertising.
Right.
Right.
And at least they get their foot in the door.
No, but a lot of them do get retail distribution.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's delete bins
all over. There's a whole other substrata of films that don't even make their way to him. I'm talking about stacks and stacks. When I first started working for Rue Morgue, I couldn't believe how many people, especially now that technology is so accessible, and seemingly, what, there's like 250 million people in America? Seemingly at least 125 million of those people thought it would be fun to make a zombie movie with their friends shot on their iPhone.
I did that once.
Yeah, so, so that's what they do, and they send it into Rue Morgue hoping that it will get a review. So he doesn't even see half the stuff.
And typically, how long would this movie be?
An hour and a half, usually.
Like that is incredible.
And it's incredible, again, that they put... There's some of these movies have production value. Like some people, you can tell this was the love of their life, that they put everything into this thinking that they were going to be the next Kubrick or whoever. And they really thought that getting it out there, that someone was going to pick that out and go, "This we got to put this on the cover. This is the best thing I've ever seen."
Right.
Where I'll review it, you know, kick it around in my review. And I can use some pretty foul language in my reviews as well and let people know that this is the kind of stuff that you'd scrape off the bottom of your shoes.
Right.
So beware. But that very rarely makes someone not want to see the movie.
Yeah.
More than just even with you guys, just telling you the ones, the few that I told you about, I know you want to see them now.
Right. Well, the more you tell me something is terrible, the more I'm like, well, I'm going to watch it now.
Exactly.
I know a lot of people who love his column, but would never dream of actually watching the films.
Yeah.
Right.
They just like to
watch him tear.
And that makes sense because I think everyone, like I don't know if you guys are in the same, like I love something that is unintentionally bad. If I watch something that is intentionally bad, I don't get any sort of joy out of it because I'm like,
I'm with you.
You wanted this to be terrible, right? So for me, there's nothing there. But someone, like you said, someone who actually thinks I'm doing something great and it's terrible is joy for me. That is absolute, like I will sit through that any day, and I can tell the difference immediately.
Yeah, like, unfortunately, a lot of people can't.
Yeah,
well, speaking of making it.
Speaking of terrible films,
right?
We should mention that we've been nominated, Lance and I, for a Rondo Hatton Classic Horror Award for Best Short Film.
Tell us more.
I don't know about the blind leading the blind.
Yeah,
I am unfamiliar with Rondo Hatton Awards.
Right?
Is that what I said? Describe what the Rondo Hatton Awards are.
Rondo Hatton was an actor back in the 30s, 40s, 50s, just a gargantuan man. I think he had that gigantic disease. But he played the heavy in a lot of horror movies. And for whatever reason, these guys decided to use his name and face, and they made these statues of his face. And they put out this award every year for all kinds of different things.
It's the Classic Horror Film Board.
Yeah, so you've got...
They made an annual award.
So you can vote for movies... Horror. Magazines, best DVD features, toys, all kinds of stuff. And we've won it 3 or 4 times already for different things.
Yeah, we won it because the first time we were nominated when we were on Rue Morgue Radio, we threatened that if we'd lost, we would bring Kayvon superfan Zahedi on the show to sing Elton John doing the Lion King song, Can You Feel the Love Tonight?
Right.
Are you familiar with Kayvon?
I'm not.
Oh, no. Thank the gods.
Yeah.
Honestly.
He's sort of like this local professional pest. He had a TV show for a while. He was one of the Canadian Idol rejects. He's literally the worst singer in human history.
Right.
Amazing.
Right? And what's great about him and why I love him, he's not fond of him, but why I love him is he belts it out with so much sincerity and so much intensity, but he can't remotely sing in key. His voice is horrific.
Yeah. Right.
Remember what you're saying about fantastic movie makers who don't know what they're doing is bad?
It's bad, yeah.
He's that guy. He's that guy, but with singing.
I don't know what he's
But passionately
doing.
Singing, but it's terrible.
Passionately singing, but it's like cracking out of key. It's just frightening.
Yeah.
So we threatened to do this. And we did lose that first year, so we made good on the threat. We brought Kayvon on. He sang We Never Lost Again. So for the next few years, we won every year. And then the one year, it was actually 2012, Lance threatened that if we lost, he would make a video of himself singing Build Me Up Buttercup to his pet ferrets, of which he has about 15.
Okay.
So it was a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, so people wanted to see that so much, they didn't vote for us. So guess what? We had to make this video.
Yeah.
But we didn't just make the video. We made it like full on, like a music video.
Sweet.
With dancing girls in fetish gear, having a picnic with his ferrets in Hyde Park, bubble baths, Kayvon did the backup vocals.
That is amazing.
Production. Put a lot into it.
Do you actually have 15 ferrets?
I have 8 ferrets.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what? I was like, 15
it
has to be an exaggeration,
yeah,
exaggeration, but even 8
yeah.
is
just
too
smells.
Still, yeah.
Yeah.
It
smells like 15.
Yeah.
You know, that I can believe.
He's British. He has no nose. He can't taste anything. So
I think I believe him. I
how,
believe him.
How do you get to 8 ferrets?
Yeah.
Just after 7, it's the next.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
No, they're all rescues. My house is filled with, right now there's 3 dogs, 8 ferrets. There was 2 snakes, a crow, squirrels, everything. So I'm a big animal person.
Right.
And okay.
He will... Before he points out, the freezer is also filled with dead animals because...
I wasn't going to tell him.
Yeah,
that,
you, of course you would.
Yeah.
Not that I kill them or anything, but I just don't want to... At some point, I'm going to do a mass burial of all the ones that have died. So right now, and anytime he comes over to my house, we're having a party, he makes sure he takes people over to the freezer and opens it up and shows them all. So.
In
his car. I've never seen, I just saw this. So I'm
Wait, are there dead animals in the car?
You know how you get a traffic ticket?
No, it was parking tickets.
Yeah, a parking ticket.
Well,
that you get from
ticket.
The machine, right? He's got a stack of them. I'm not kidding. We should have brought in like this thick. He collects them.
Well, like, you know,
collects
those
for recycling later.
Wait, so
later.
Wait,
I like how everything happens later.
Let's
like
old calendar
something. Right?
No, let's go back.
Yeah,
let's go back
a little bit.
He's still trying to grasp the dead animals in the freezer.
You have a freezer full of the dead animals that you were keeping. You know, while they were living, they die.
They died, and I keep on meaning to take them to the cottage to bury them, and I forget every
you
year.
Keep
He's got a bag.
Wait!
Frozen mice.
You keep forgetting every year.
And literally, we'll get up to the cottage. I'll be halfway, and I'll be like, God.
So how many years have some of those been in there?
About 10 years.
You're kidding.
That is not
no.
a real
okay.
thing.
Now listen.
This is true.
It's
when
true.
My cat died, I was away, and my roommate put it in the freezer, and I get made fun of for that all the time,
it
and people make
a lot,
jokes.
Actually, yeah.
And so initially, I was on your side, Lance. I was like, "Listen, you got to put them somewhere." But then when
Where'd
you're
you
like,
make the move
every over? Year I forget to bring them up to the cottage, and well, every year some of them have been in there for a decade.
Yeah. He was right. I had bags and bags of mice in there, but then one year I took them out and buried them in the garden in the backyard. I was just more afraid.
A big frozen chameleon.
Yeah, it's still there.
Bags of dead kittens.
They're gone.
A black frozen crow.
Still
there. I mean, it just goes on and on.
Still there. Yeah, but I was just more afraid that if I buried them in my backyard, my dogs would dig them up.
Sure.
And that would be even more gross.
Right.
So, right.
He's a hoarder.
It does. I mean,
it's a whole different level, though.
Even more stunning to perceive is when you go to his house, and we're actually going to do a little video of his house because it's unbelievable. He's got every living dead doll on the walls. There's like 500 of them?
Something like that.
He has an entire room upstairs, an entire room dedicated to nothing but Star Wars toys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've met people
Everyone's
like you.
Everyone's like, no, that's okay. He's
that
the one who thinks that I'm crazy, but everyone else thinks you're
crazy.
He's
almost 50. And he's dedicated his entire life to living like a 15-year-old goth girl.
But if he had started with the Star Wars toys, I'd have been like, oh, that's But if you have the freezer full of the dead animals.
Yeah, you got to lead with the Star Wars toys.
Yeah, that pales in comparison.
It's a natural progression, I think.
I know someone who has a My Little Pony room. And it is wall.
I think we know the same person.
Yeah,
yeah. Guy or girl? That's the
girl.
Question.
It's a girl.
Yeah. Wall to wall glass cases.
Yeah, and it's actually a house, really.
Glass cases.
Oh, well, no, it's a house. Well, okay. So in her living room, she has tons of. She has a bunch of different. She has some Star Wars, a Star Wars section. Her whole house is covered, but her main thing is the My Little Ponies, and so she has created this room and painted it and got these expensive glass front shelves and has all these. And I'm not going to lie, it's a tiny bit weird.
It's freaking crazy is what it is, man.
But the first time I went into that room, I started to cry because half my childhood was in that room and all these toys that I had forgotten about, all these memories of being a little kid and having that My Little Pony came flooding back.
So
and
she
I
stole
to cry.
Those from you?
No. They were mass produced, Lance.
You,
calm
she,
down. Went,
she took you in there to show them all
some
to you. Look,
them
at,
are so
they're
rare.
Behind glass yeah. now. You can't even touch
you
them.
You can't even touch them.
And
yeah.
that, so for like 2 minutes, I was like, this is the most
you're
magical land
that,
on earth. And then I was like,
Seinfeld
you're
Seinfeld episode where they give her the turkey. She passes out with
so they
the
can use their Easy Bake Oven.
Yes.
Okay.
But anyway, we should mention before we get kicked out, Cinephobia.
Yes.
Yes.
The Rumog podcast is no more, and I'm relaunching. It's actually an old show that I did on CKLN for years. It was the weekly film show.
Right.
And then I launched it as a podcast, but it went on hiatus when we started the Rumog podcast for 3 years. That's over. I'm relaunching Cinephobia, but I'm going to bring Lance back on in the same capacity
Nemesis.
That he existed on the Rumog podcast, because the listeners just loved listening to his demented mind
right.
and his demented mm-hmm. outlook. And plus, I think we have a genuine, deep, resounding dislike for one another.
Oh, it's, yeah. it's very
it's real.
Deep.
Yeah,
it's
and you
that's
real.
Why
and
you sticking us this close yeah. to him.
No, yes. but you like each other.
You'd be surprised how much I resent him.
I'm not going to lie. You remind me quite a bit of me and Ward.
Oh,
yeah. And I know Ward is not here
today. Which
one
am I, though? Am I you?
Yeah.
Or, okay, that's yeah. cool. I like
well,
that.
Well, frozen animals. In
frozen
the freezer,
animals,
of
yeah.
course. But, and I will just remind listeners, we are talking to Stuart Andrews and Last Chance Lance. I just said Lass.
That's okay. Right. That's good.
Hey, Lass.
Yeah. Hey.
Of Cinephobia Radio. Yeah, no, because we're very, listen, we host this show together. We get along. We resent each other like crazy. We fight. We're friends.
Is he always screwing things up for you and like saying nasty things about you so that girls that you or guys that you like or whatever don't want to like you anymore and setting you up for things and
don't fall
just being because that's what he does.
Well,
that's like he fed me cheese with maggots in it once.
Did you,
yeah,
Stuart?
That's the way he does. That's
well,
what he does.
This is
that is friendship.
A delicacy. From Sardinia. It's called Casu Marzu. And they basically, it's a sheep's milk cheese and a pecorino. And they cut the top off and they let the cheese maggots, the cheese flies, lay the eggs in there. And the maggots hatch and they eat their way through the whole cheese. And what they excrete is a soft fermented version of the sheep's milk cheese, and it is a delicacy.
It sounds
in
like
Sardinia.
One, doesn't it? Doesn't it sound great?
Right. So I fed some of this to Lance. Didn't tell him what it was.
Because I trusted him and I.
Yeah. And then, here's the disturbing thing, it wasn't Casu Marzu. I wouldn't do that to somebody.
No, you,
the disturbing thing was once he was told and thought he'd just eaten maggot cheese, he ate more and he wasn't bothered by it.
Do you know what? I think I'm flip flopping. I think yeah. I might be Stuart and Lance might be Ward.
Yeah, I want to
see
you.
You don't
though,
want to align yourself with him yeah. Right now.
Okay, first of all, that's a real thing.
It is a real thing. Yeah.
People, the world is so weird.
Yeah.
It's like those people who take coffee so seriously, they drink
the one that gets passed through the civets or whatever.
That yeah, little, that animal eats the coffee bean and then poops it out and then they make
that
coffee with it.
Amazing.
Every culture actually has some disgusting, inedible type of food that is almost traditional or part of the folk culture.
Right.
We have
every
poutine.
Culture. You right. guys have poutine.
You guys.
I grew up with my grandparents. I mean, World War II in England, you would eat everything. So
yeah.
my grandparents ate tripe and onions, which
yeah.
is like just so disgusting. They had pickled pig's feet in the fridge.
You probably still do.
He's got a pickled
probably,
pig
yeah,
in the
yeah.
freezer.
I was about to say.
It's
yeah.
not to eat.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
the berry.
I'm actually a vegetarian. Yeah. But this guy, all his food that he makes goes through some kind of deflavorizing machine before it gets put on the table. So even his curry.
What? It goes through a flavorizing
deflavorizing.
Oh, deflavorizing. Yeah.
He doesn't have any idea what he's talking about because I've never made him a meal. And I never will.
Really? You never made me any kind of curry? This is like we're like a couple here that are...
You are a couple.
I know.
Yeah, well, I told you guys...
It's adorable.
...that we brought you here
it
for relationship
adorable.
Reasons.
That's the way I want it described. It's adorable. I want that.
Yeah.
So we'll get bracelets that just say best
BFF.
Friends forever.
Yeah.
The little heart that's broken in half.
Let me just say a quick thing about Cinephobia and what it isn't.
Okay, how about this?
Okay.
Wait, how about this? How about we take a break, you guys stay, and then when we come back, you tell us all the fabulousness.
Fantastic.
Hey.
All right, we are joined by
in the hands
Stuart.
Of a professional.
Yeah, I know how to get it done. We are joined by Lance and Stuart of Cinephobia Radio. You're listening to Al and Arthur on the Ward and Al Show, and we'll be back right after this.
Cause all we need is candlelight, you and me.
Uno, dos, tres.
It's been a really, really messed up week. 7 days of torture, 7 days of bitter. And my girlfriend went and cheated on me. She's a California dime, but it's time for me to quit her. La, 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 whatever. La, 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 it doesn't matter. La, 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 oh well. La, 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 we're going at it tonight.
Created in a lab by scientists with nothing better to do. This is Ward and L on Canada Talks.
It's not actually. Ward is away, so this is the Al and Arthur show.
Yeah.
And we are joined by host and sidekick. Can I say that?
Yes.
Is that, I think, how we would
sidekick?
Say it?
Sidekick. He's my sidekick, yeah.
Okay. Of Cinephobia Radio, Stuart Andrews, and Last Chance Lance.
Yeah.
Stuart Feedback Andrews.
Stuart, sorry, I keep forgetting to put feedback in there.
I have some breaking news.
What is
right
that?
Right before we came down today, it was announced that Rue Morgue is no longer part of Fan Expo.
Oh. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
The Festival of Fear is gone. I don't know what the deal is, but it's gone.
That's going to be weird.
Because we used to have a lot of fun at the Fan Expo, and in fact, one of our most infamous adventures was at the Fan Expo with Lance Henriksen,
who
the great
is
veteran actor.
Oh, such a joy. I've not met him, but as an actor, what a joy.
He's amazing. Yeah. And we staged a game show called Lance versus Lance. Who knows more about Lance Henriksen's career, Lance Henriksen or Last Chance Lance?
Amazing.
It was not just about his career, it was about him.
Him.
Like,
and
I was
life.
Able to answer what his birthday was before him. Like,
oh, right.
We had
so it's
to buzz
like
in. Yeah.
Right. That's the best.
So we actually had people from the audience asking questions and then see who could answer it first. And
I was asking
them away.
A lot of the questions.
Yeah, the bad ones, but yeah.
So we got about halfway into it where I'm asking like really intimate, very personal, very private questions that I had to go really digging to find the answers for myself. And he's answering them before Lance Henriksen. So about halfway through, he figures out, Lance, the real Lance, the handsome Lance, as the audience called him, that it was a setup.
Right.
I admit it was a setup.
Yeah.
And I will not admit that.
You didn't really win.
Better on the buzzer.
But he was so, it was so strange because he didn't quite know how to deal with it. He was a bit like partially horrified, partially
had no idea what he was in
he
for.
He didn't know if it was funny. He didn't know if he was being made fun of, if he was being so.
He's 71 years old at this time, right? 71 years old. And at one point he just kind of stands up and kind of throws his hands in the air. He's like, I can just see him going like, what was I thinking? Why did I agree to this? But he had a blast. He really did.
Well, the best part was then he goes over to his agents afterwards. Oh, go tell him that story.
Yeah. So I'm a mortician in real life. And I was talking to Lance about that. And he said, I'd love to sit down with you and talk about it sometime. And we talked to my agent. And we'll go for dinner. So I said, great. And he pointed out his agent to me, and I go over there and talk to him. I said, hey, listen, Lance just asked me to come over, and what kind of food does he like? Because I've got coupons for this new Scottish place. And he's like, yeah. I go, yeah, McDonald's, right? And so the guy, he totally blows me off, thinks that the whole thing is a joke, and cancels all the plans that I'm supposed to go and have dinner. It would.
Apologies had to be
sent. Blown away, man.
Through.
It was. Yeah. I missed being able to have dinner with a guy who's really one of my all-time idols, because I made a joke about McDonald's. and I see this. I see this agent every year at Fan Expo.
He's horrible.
And the first thing I say to him is like, "Yeah, remember me? Remember the guy who you ruined everything because I made a joke about McDonald's?"
Yeah, people are so weird in this industry when they're like, there are seriousness. And it's like, okay, calm down.
Yeah.
Calm down.
Yeah. Especially that contingent of the Hollywood faction that comes up here.
Yeah.
Canadians are much more used to, like, you know, accessible. English people obviously joke at each other relentlessly. But the Hollywood type, they really, you can't mess with them.
Right.
No. They don't like that.
Even this last year, I was supposed to host a panel with five of the actors from The Walking Dead. And I was like, I was blown away that I was getting to do this. And I had, you know, I'd filled the largest auditorium they had there with like my friends and my family in the front row. I had done all these pre-interviews with the actors and actresses. And it, I was just on cloud nine that I was going to get to do this. And 30 seconds, about 30 to 35 seconds before I'm about to get on stage, I'm setting up my podium and I've got the microphones all going. This guy comes up and goes, yeah, listen, I'm not going to need that podium. And I was like, who the hell are you? Like, I need the podium. He goes, who the hell am I? I'm the guy who's like going to be talking to these guys, interviewing them. I'm from AMC, like the company that actually put it out. And I'm just looking at him going like, I don't know anything about this. And then I turn to one of the guys there and he's like, yeah, sorry, he just showed up, so we have to put him in there. And I literally just like, it's like out of a bad TV sitcom, or I'm just kind of gathering up my papers and walking off the stage and just like,
yeah, his family coming from out of town, looking at me like,
where are you going, dude?
This was like, the high point of his entire life.
Yeah, no, that's just sad. Yeah, it
is.
No,
it is, if you know him, it's actually,
it's par for the course.
Yeah. Right.
Pleasing event. If you know him as well as I do.
Right.
It was, but at least
righteous Schadenfreude.
Yeah.
Right.
To be had here.
He likes making up words. But at least some of the actors came up to me afterwards and said that they thought it was the worst interview that had ever happened with them. And it's true. If you looked at that, it's on YouTube. If you look at that interview and then you look at one they did just a few months before at
I'm sure like the host at least looked up their names on IMDb.
I did. I even wrote them out phonetically so I'd know how to say some of their names.
He hosted a panel, and this is another one of the legends of the podcast. He hosted a panel with Danielle Harris, who was the little girl, Jamie Lloyd, in the original Halloween movies,
okay.
Halloween 4.
First of all, we reference her from Roseanne.
Seriously?
Okay?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. She's been on this show. We went to the premiere of Hatchet 3. I'm in this game. I know what's happening here.
You know what's happening.
Yeah.
But for the sake of your listeners.
Right.
Yes.
Right? In case they don't know who she is.
Right.
Danielle Harris, she's fantastic. He hosts a panel with her, and of course she was in Rob Zombie's remake of Halloween. You can take it over from here because
I thought that she played the main character. I didn't realize that she was like one of the friends. So the whole time I'm talking to her, I'm kind of like talking about that she, you know, what was it like, you know, getting picked up for this role where normally it's like Jamie Lee Curtis, you know, her, she was tall and thin and here you are and very different. And
you can hear her struggling to kind of like make sense of it. He's like, yeah. So Jamie Lee Curtis was the Scream Queen and she's passed the torch to you in the Halloween movies. And now you're, you know, she thinks it's like an esoteric philosophical question. She doesn't really understand what you're getting at.
Yeah, and then at one point she just kind of like, I'm not the person you think I am. Like I was never that person, and I'm kind of like Brian Linehan, you know, on City TV with all my notes, and I'm just kind of crumpling them up. And thank you very much, IMDb. So it's been was a legendary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't want to give people the wrong impression. Lance will not be conducting any interviews.
Any interviews?
On
yes.
Xenophobia Radio.
Yeah.
Not at all. Well, he will come on periodically. Yeah. Like he did on the Rumog podcast, to read letters from listeners and to tell us about the exploits of his strange and fantastical life that is beyond fiction.
It is beyond fiction.
It
is. It's a pretty, I mean, it's a
we're
pretty
just
interesting.
Scratching the surface.
But well, tell us before we forget, tell us a little bit more about Xenophobia Radio.
Okay, first of all, what it isn't, because
right.
there's a billion film shows, and
right.
it really doesn't need to be any more.
Right.
And most of them I view as just functioning as an extension of the marketing department of the
right.
films in question. So I'm not interested in chasing after like the latest movie or keeping up to date with what's opening this weekend,
right.
reviewing the latest thing. I'm not doing that. I'm interested in taking a more thoughtful, longer view of the art form for people who have a really deep appreciation for movies and a lifelong fascination with the art form. So the three episodes that are up there right now, there's a career retrospective interview with Malcolm McDowell from Clockwork Orange.
Which I have to right. say, Malcolm McDowell
That's
actually
another...
tells him to go F himself at
Not
one
in
point.
This interview, but he did do that, and this was another one of the scandals of the podcast.
Right.
Well, I have a conspiracy theory
yeah.
that Malcolm McDowell and Terrence Stamp are actually the same person.
There you go.
But
really?
Have they ever been in a room together?
I want to say no.
I always get them. I'll be watching a show. I'll be like, Malcolm McDowell was great on that show. Sharon Stamp. Like, it's they're interchangeable.
You just think all British people look alike.
They do.
Just all.
That's racist.
No. Teeth.
No.
Just white haired, blue eyed British old guys.
There you go.
Yeah. That's fair.
You're talking to a fan of both of them.
Yeah. No, I love them both, but I am not convinced they're different people.
Met them at the same time, place?
It's a good theory because I've never met Terrence Stamp.
See, you cannot definitively prove that they're not the same person.
She's not onto something.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah.
I'll have to look into that.
You're British. Yeah. You can look him up. And
yeah. But anyway, I'll tell you my Malcolm McDowell story that he alluded to. And he thinks this is something I should be ashamed of, but I'm not.
Sweet.
So I did a set visit on that vampire movie, Suck, that was shooting in Toronto. There were all sorts of people in the movie. Alice Cooper was in there, Iggy Pop, and Malcolm McDowell has a role in it.
It sucked. It's a horrible
movie. And I wouldn't actually say it did, but yeah, it's not fantastic. But anyway, Malcolm McDowell is there, and I'm doing an interview with him, and he's very irreverent, and he's hilarious, and he's a great raconteur, and he's got loads of attitude. And we're making fun of a lot of stuff. We're making fun of the movie he's in right now, stuff he's done before, each other in a weird way. And I asked him if there were any horror films that he actually admires. And he said he doesn't like horror films except for one, Rob Zombie's Halloween, which he's in, of course. And I said, oh, really? You're the only one I know who thinks that. And it was just like this moment where...
You were too honest.
It was as soon as the words rolled off the tongue, I realized, like, that was maybe crossing a line. He just kind of froze. He looks at me. There's real malice in his eyes. And he says, well, I have just one thing to say to you then. F you.
Boom.
And it was just, wow, right in the middle of the interview. And he goes, what are you going to say to that? I said, well, it's always been a dream of mine to have Malcolm McDowell tell me to F off, you know. So I kind of managed
to because that would be awesome.
That would be great.
That's his, like, cell phone ringer now. It was fun.
So we've ran that clip endlessly on the podcast. But he brings it up like I should be ashamed of this moment. I'm not, because I was honest with him.
No, I'm jealous, that's what it is.
In a deluded world. Everyone hated that Rob Zombie Halloween remake.
Except for him.
Everybody. Because he was angling, at that point, he was angling to get into the sequel, which he wasn't.
Right.
Which was better, I thought.
To be honest with you, I haven't seen either of the... Because Rob Zombie, I just can't... I haven't seen either of them either. Yeah.
Not missing anything at all.
You're not missing anything.
And with the franchise movies, you know what? Like, I have to really have a special connection with that franchise to get past the third one. In any franchise, in any ones, right? Like, I've seen the first two of the original ones, and I never really got past that. And then I watched when H20 came out, and that was a mistake on everyone's part. I shouldn't have watched it. They shouldn't have made it. Like, it was a whole big... So, but I just mean with franchises in general,
it's hard for me to... Well, the third installment of Nightmare on Elm Street is fantastic. That was the Dream Warriors one.
Right.
Yeah.
The famous Dokken song, too.
Yeah. Did you see the remake of that movie?
Yes, I did, unfortunately.
Well, no, I liked it. I did.
No, you didn't.
I thought
this is the problem.
Devil's
advocate here.
People will only be listening.
Lance, it is the worst thing that has ever happened.
I had a bit of a crush on the girl who played the main character. She was also in...
I don't even remember who's in it now.
The girl with the dragon tattoo.
Think of the films he watches.
That's true.
That's true.
That bar's already really low.
Yeah, I guess if you had just watched a lot of terrible movies.
So you just... If you justify it by saying I had a crush on the girl who was the... That's how you justify liking that movie?
Exactly. So if they were going to use my quote on the back of the box, I would say, this movie is amazing because I have a crush on the girl, but they leave that part out. This movie's amazing.
Right. Fair enough.
To be fair, when I was thinking about what I was just saying, I was thinking, like, with Fast and Furious, I'm totally on board with the seventh movie, but let's be honest, what has kept me there is the hot guys.
Yeah.
So I'm no better than you,
Vin
Lance.
Diesel?
Yeah.
Is that your guy?
All of them.
You know what? Here's the weird thing about Vin Diesel. Sometimes it's like... okay, you are an uggo, but there is something about the whole package where you go, okay, Vin Diesel, I get it. You got it. I get it.
Now, just picture Vin Diesel, because you may not have known this, but he is a huge Dungeons and Dragons player. Like
I am in no way surprised.
Can you just picture him with a bunch of guys and someone's going like, there, I just killed your orc, Mr. Diesel. And he's just like, yeah, really? And just like twists their head right off and then storms out of the room with his bag of Cheetos or something.
And then I run after him, and I'm like, don't be upset.
Is that true? Are you making that up?
No, it's true. He is a huge fan of them.
Really?
Yeah.
I've actually heard that before, yeah.
No, it's so, I find fascinating, too, because Chris Cluey, who played for the Minnesota Vikings, huge Magic the Gathering player.
Is the Minnesota Vikings, that's from Game of Thrones or something?
No.
NFL football, but NFL, close.
Yeah.
NFL.
Really?
Yeah, huge. I was at an atheist convention that he was giving a talk at. And I'm also a nerd.
Yeah.
And there was a
godless nerd, apparently.
Yeah. And the godless nerds are a big thing. So there was this huge Magic the Gathering thing. And like Chris Cluey stayed up all night playing Magic the Gathering because it's his jam. So weird.
He's a big Dungeons and Dragons aficionado.
That's how I know about the Vin Diesel thing. So,
It was in the newsletter?
Yes. Someone blasted it on their tweet or whatever.
Another episode I have is with Ray Harryhausen in one of his final interviews before he died. The stop motion animator who did Jason and the Argonauts, Clash of the Titans, all the Sinbad movies. And this was actually at a time when he wasn't doing interviews. And he put out another book, his final book, actually. And I was trying to hunt him down for an interview, and they said, no, he's not doing interviews. His hearing was going, so he didn't want to talk on the phone. And I hounded these people, and I wrote like a 2-page fan letter why I needed to interview him. And they buckled in, and he submitted to the interview. And he did hear me, no problem. So it's actually one of the last in-depth things he ever did.
So what you're saying is that if I write a 2-page fangirl letter to Vin Diesel, my dreams could come true.
100%. Exactly. That was the whole reason why we're here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just to get you to do that.
Yeah.
I needed that boost.
You thought it was about their relationship, but really we wanted to bring
the
you
tables.
And Vin Diesel together.
Oh, guys, I love it. Well, where can our listeners find Cinephobia Radio?
www.cinephobiaradio.com. I'm just curious. Do you even know?
I do not know.
last chance, Lance. You're going to end up in that.
/org.
You're going to end up in that freezer.
You're going to end up in that freezer, bud. You better watch yourself.
That's true.
www.cinephobia-radio.com.
Of course, we will tweet that out, and it is on the Facebook page. Also, I just want to point out, like, Lance, dude, you don't own a cell phone. You got a freezer full of dead animals. Like,
off the grid.
Yeah.
Off the grid.
At some point, I'm going to need to book it to the cottage. I'm gone, and no one will find me. But I'll have lots to eat.
Okay, but also, you need to be really careful, because if you're ever suspected of a crime, the cops are going to be like, this guy for sure did it.
Oh, yeah.
All my neighbors.
You fit so many profiles.
All my neighbors, usually people say, no, he was so quiet. They're like,
he's a professional mortician. That's
There's so many. You're just layering on all the suspicion.
And we haven't even talked about his love life.
Yeah, no, I know. You guys are going to have to come back.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're just Cinephobia Radio. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much, guys. This was a lot of fun.
This is Arthur and Al on the Ward and Al Show, and we will be back to wrap up the day on Canada Talks right after this.
Let's get back to Ward and Al on Canada Talks.
All right, it is the Al and Arthur Show on the Ward and Al Show.
Thank you, Ward, for not being able to make it today.
Yes, Arthur and I needed some quality time.
Yeah, and we did get some quality time.
We sure did, and we just met. Let's chat some more about Last Chance, Lance.
A little bit.
Because we just had Stuart Andrews, host of Cinephobia Radio, and his sidekick, Last Chance Lance. And Lance is a fascinating human being. So here's things. We started off this show talking about weird issues that we each have.
Right.
And then what we have come to learn now is that
we're okay. Like, we are fine.
We're doing fine.
Yeah, we're okay.
Right?
On the scale, on the human scale, we actually thriving right
now. Yeah, I have a tiny self-esteem issue, and you have a tiny public bathroom issue. But we have learned that Lance is a bit of an animal hoarder. He rescues animals.
Right.
But then when he dies, he wants them to give them a proper burial up at his cottage.
Right.
So he keeps them in the freezer and then forgets to take them to the cottage.
Yes. And so for about 10 years now, this animal's been collected in this freezer.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, means you can't go for a barbecue at his house because you have no idea.
Oh, no. Like, I'm literally never eating anything.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. How do you, like, he would have to have a specific, like, okay, this freezer is just my dead animal freezer.
Right.
Right? Because or else
you can't mix and match.
No.
You don't want,
what if this dead animal is getting on your hamburger patties?
Yeah. You can't put the ice cream next to the squirrel that died in 2004.
No. That doesn't And this is the best, it was the best reveal because it was just slow. It was mostly Stuart telling us about this stuff, but it was like a slow reveal. He's like, he's got a bunch of dead animals in his freezer. Yeah. And right away we're like, okay.
And they kind of like just kind of went over it. Like it wasn't a big deal. I'm like, no, that's a big deal. That's.
Well, and as he's, you know, as Stuart's sort of elaborating on Lance's hoarding, and then Lance just casually goes, he goes, well, yeah, you know, I keep forgetting to take him to the cottage.
Yeah.
And then doesn't elaborate. Yeah. And that's when I was like, well, wait a minute, what do you mean? Like,
forget.
You forget them. And he was like, well, because I want to take him up to the cottage. And he goes, you know, so over the years. And like, that just keeps, it's such a brush aside. Like, oh yeah, I just keep forgetting them.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah. We're going to need to talk about how you forget you have a big pile of dead animals in your freezer.
It's such commonplace.
Right? Yeah. And you go,
because, you know, especially if you're going to the cottage, you're always looking forward to it. Right? You plan it. So you know for a fact that the animals have to make the list of things,
things to bring to the cottage.
Yeah, things that are going to get into the car.
Right?
Yeah. So, I think the problem is the transportation.
Maybe.
You know? Because at some point you have to be worried. Because if you're going to the cottage, you're probably not going by yourself. Like that's the, you know, maybe you're taking a few friends.
You know what? Are we making assumptions when it comes to Lance? Because now I don't know.
Now you don't know.
Right? Because
that would be an interesting thing. If a friend of yours invited to the cottage and as you were, you know, unloading the car, one of the items was a whole bunch of dead animals.
Okay. What? And this is, I will admit that this is an idea that Victoria put in my head. What happens when he finally remembers to empty out that freezer of dead animals, drive him up to the cottage, and then just starts digging holes, and his neighbors start going,
oh, for sure.
What? This guy's just burying 108 dead animals.
Yeah. For sure, it's a serial killer. They won't even think it's animals.
You know what? And we're kidding around and whatever, but like seriously, if Last Chance Lance is ever suspected of any sort of crime, Oh, he is. There are going to be newspaper articles written. He will be condemned in the court of public opinion. Like that guy is going down.
Yeah,
hard,
there's no chance.
Guilty or
we'll
not.
Be the only two people.
Yeah.
On his side.
No, seriously.
And even then, we'll be quiet about it.
Well, you know what? Like, because we were listeners, we were discussing this during the break about whether or not we think he's actually a serial killer.
Right.
And I kind of don't.
No, he's not. He's a sweet man.
He's very funny. Yeah. He's very sweet. And you can tell he's just like, I've got a weird life.
Yeah.
And so he's not a serial killer. But then when you look at, if you just put down on paper all the things about his life, you're like, oh, dude, if this was Criminal Minds, we would be following him
now. Yeah.
Yeah.
He'd be the unsub for sure.
Yeah.
Wouldn't even need to call Penelope. That's how much I watch that show.
Yeah. Yeah. You love the Garcia.
Oh, yeah. We wouldn't even need to call her. We'd just be like, listen, we found the guy.
Yeah. We know where. Found the guy for every open case ever.
Yeah, take a break on this one. We don't need your computers for this one.
Yeah, go get a new pair of eyeglasses.
Yeah.
She wears a lot of different
eyeglasses. She's a baby girl.
I know, baby girl, you know.
Baby girl wears a lot of sunglasses.
Now, do you still watch Criminal Minds? Like, do you watch the new episodes that come out? Yeah.
Like, I've watched the show from the beginning.
Yeah, no, and I now did too until a year and a half ago.
Yeah, it's sad that I know who the person is, or I know what the profile is going to be.
I know.
10 minutes into the show because I've watched all the episodes.
I know.
I still watch to the end.
It's yeah. the patterns are
there. There's nothing new about it. I really hope they shut it down soon.
They have to.
Yeah.
Although I guess it's still getting ratings. Like, are new people showing up?
Yeah,
like,
because the beauty of Criminal Minds, and like most shows, there's no overlying story. It's just, it's really procedural in that way.
I like the overlying story better. Like, when they do have more background, like when JJ was getting together with that cop from that now she's married to with the kid and whatever. Like,
you're into that.
Throw more of that in there.
Right. Yeah.
Because they've run out
care.
Of cases.
Yeah.
And also, there's not that many serial killers active in the U.S.
The replicator, yeah.
Arthur, we're out of time.
It was a good time.
It was a pleasure. Follow Arthur on Twitter at Arthur Simimian.
Yeah.
I, of course, will be back on Monday with Ward Anderson. It will be a traditional Ward and Al show.
Thank you so much.
But
for
such a joy
me.
To spend the day with you, Arthur Simimian.
Always such a pleasure. Thank
and
you for having me.
A pleasure to spend every day with you, sweet listeners. Can't wait till Monday. Goodbye, cruel.
Enjoy
world.
Your weekend, everyone.